Shalom, this is Billy Brim in the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, coming to you today from Branson, Missouri, Prayer Mountain. We've been reading my book, The Blood and the Glory, and we go on, witnessing the rains. We have said that the rains were a type of the Holy Ghost outpouring, and the rains of the Spirit. Israel was told when they went into the promised land that they were dependent upon the rains, and that if they didn't live before God as they should, they would have no rains. We find out that this outpouring of the rain, which was absolutely necessary to them for a natural harvest, that then the Spirit of the Lord began to make it known that these rains are a type of a spiritual outpouring. And we saw in Joel chapter 2 that it said, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rains moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." So Joel prophesies to them that there's coming a spiritual outpouring of the rains, and that the former rain, Israel has two rainy seasons, one being early rains, just after the civil year begins, before they plant their crops. They've already got the harvest in from last year, and now they're preparing the ground for the next year. And the early rains come to prepare the ground. And then they plant their crops, and they have the latter rains come before the harvest. Early rains are October, November, December. The latter rains are going to come February, March, and April before they get their harvest in June. And they start even getting a harvest in April. So these, we are told in the Word of God, that these are an outpouring that's going to come. Now, this is Old Testament. This is Joel. Look what he says in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit." Now, when Joel's prophecy began to come to pass with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, Peter was preaching right there on the southern steps of the temple. And he said, when people thought they were drunken, they had been baptized with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost up in the upper room, but then that room couldn't hold them. And they spilled out over onto the steps, the southern steps of the temple. And some people said, well, they're drunk. But Peter said, this is Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 18. "These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my handmaidens and servants I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Now the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is the former rain outpouring. Remember, there were types and shadows in the natural rains in Israel. But the fulfillment of the former rain outpouring came in Acts chapter 2. Now, there's a former rain and there's a latter rain. The latter rain outpouring came at the beginning of the 20th century. The Azusa Street outpouring was a part of it. The old timers we've been referring to in my book, The Blood and the Glory, were a part of it. The latter rain came before the early harvest. But the Bible prophesies there will be an outpouring when the early rains and the latter rains will come together. Joel prophesied a coming of the former rain and the latter rain in the first month together. The Holy Spirit through James revealed that the third great and final outpouring of the age will come just before the coming of the Lord. James 5, 7, and 8. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive," or it receives, the earth receives, the field receives, "the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." The husbandman is God the Father. We know that from John 15:1. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, my Father's the husbandman. He's the farmer. God the Father is the best farmer ever there was or ever will be. He has a field, earth. God's field will receive an outpouring of the Spirit, likened unto the former and latter rains coming together. The glories of this outpouring will produce the grandest crop ever there was or ever will be. A great harvest of the precious fruit of the earth will come into the glory of God the Father. The third and last outpouring of the Spirit, just before Jesus comes, will include everything in the book of Acts, plus everything in the outpouring of the beginning of this century put together. The outpouring, the third and last one that we're looking for just before Jesus comes, will include everything the former rain outpouring included. That was the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost. It will include everything the latter rain outpouring included. That was all that happened with Brother Parham in Kansas and then with Azusa Street in California and spreading across the world. And it also began in Russia. It'll include all of those together plus more. Chapter 20, Witness the Rains. God's call upon my life involves being a witness. I am to go about the earth and watch what he is doing and tell others. It amazes me how he makes it possible for me to do so. My radio broadcast is called The Voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. In 1991, the Lord impressed upon my spirit that I should spend the winter of 91 and 92 in Israel. When I prayed, his direction came to me quite clearly. He wanted me to witness some things that were very big. There would be an element of surprise in it, and he would widen the audience to hear the witness. This book is a part of that. We lived at the time in northeastern Oklahoma near Tulsa. Our finances seemed to say that it would be stretching it to spend the winter in Oklahoma City. But as soon as I made the decision, the money began to pour in to go. I was told by the Lord to study Hebrew in the land. I arrived at my Hebrew school in November. It was cold, and miracle of miracles, it was raining. Now, I'd already been to this Hebrew school before, so I went back for another session. Israel had experienced a record drought for the 5 years preceding. I had been there many times with groups during the drought. I had viewed the Sea of Galilee from high above on the cliffs of Arbel, the shrinking of the beautiful little sea, which is the country's reservoir, was unbelievable. It was at this time that they found that boat that they now call the Jesus boat, because the waters went down so low, there was the boat sticking in the mud. Everyone said the greatest threat to Israel's survival was not war, it was lack of water. Their water supply was disappearing even while their population was swelling. The Russian Jews were coming home in large numbers. Strict measures were enacted. There were even rules about flushing toilets, etc. Bright Jews were brainstorming. Bringing in an iceberg was proposed, among other desperate measures. Scientists daily reported on the status of the Sea of Galilee, with dire forecasts of just how long they could exist. Our Jewish friends asked us to pray for rain. Group after group who came with us prayed openly the way we pray, and the Jews said, Amen. In telephone calls before I came for the winter, my friends advised me to bring warm clothes, but I was not prepared. It was so cold I sometimes put on all the clothes I could and stayed in bed under all the covers I could find. The cold was also only surpassed by the rain. It rained and rained and rained all day, every day. It rained in sheets, cold, windy sheets. Newspaper banner headlines in huge type red, Ness, Ness, Ness. Ness is Hebrew for miracle, and it was a miracle indeed. Record snows fell on Mount Hermon. The dews of Hermon literally give the water of life to Israel, Psalm 133:3 says. Snow water runs off Mount Hermon to fill three small tributaries which feed the Jordan above the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee overflowed its banks. Scientists had predicted it would take years to fill up in normal rainy seasons. The Jordan swelled and rolled, and the news reported, as it must have been in Bible days. In Bible days, you see how they had to cross the Jordan and how it was a miracle? The Jordan, when there's no rain, just goes down to a little bitty stream. You'd almost call it a creek in America. But that year, I saw it. The Jordan rolled. It was mighty, and it was rolling. Our Hebrew school went to Tiberias to take a look at the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River. We drove our bus through the flooded streets of the city. They so wanted us to see the miracle, they encouraged us to get out and walk to the banks of the sea where high waves were crashing. A little Russian Jewish boy, a new immigrant, ran too close. Oh, they were coming home then. You remember the walls had fallen and communist teeth were pulled. And so they let the Jews out to come home. It was 1991. So many of them were coming. A little Russian Jewish boy, a new immigrant, ran too close to the water's edge. His mother flew after him, struggling with her umbrella in the wind. He stopped just in time, but she toppled in. She looked rather like Mary Poppins bobbing up and down in the churning sea, hanging on to the umbrella over her head. Of course, someone rescued her from the miracle waters. Those waters were so powerful and the waves so big, they crumpled sidewalks and broke large glass windows in the hotels lining the shores. Making my way to classes each day was a challenge. I'd seen winds and rains in Oklahoma, but not like this, for they went on day after day after day. One day, the winds picked up my umbrella and put me with it and flung us face down into the mud. But I was glad it was miracle mud. The former rains and latter rains had come heavy, and they had come all together. There was no slackening off period between them. October, November, December, January, February, March. It rained and it rained, and it broke all records. It was a sign in the natural, and in the natural too. It was, I believe, tied to the Jews coming home from Russia. That great breakthrough. And so they had a breakthrough in the spirit as well. Tomorrow we'll return and read what was the result of the great outpouring of the rains. This is Billy Brim coming to you from Branson, Missouri. You can call us at 1-800-972-3447 to get this book. Or you can go online to billybrim.org. Shalom.